Join me for a hymn sing at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. This year's theme, Hymns of Comfort. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
And you know how that came to its ultimate fulfillment when Yahweh in the flesh took not only the sins of Israel, but of the whole world into his flesh as he visited us and thus granted us the healing of the cross.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Amos.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Let's recall where we left off. God had sent in his great mercy to his people both Nazarites and prophets. The Nazarites as a sign to the people that our final home is not found in this age and its pleasures, and the prophets to announce his word that would save them and keep them in faith. But the peoples abused the Nazarites by forcing them to drink the forbidden wine and thus ceased to be an ascetical sign. And they told the prophets to be silent, not speak God's word anymore. Remember, that was said directly to Amos in a later chapter of this book. As a result, the people get what comes to all who cozy up to this world and its pleasures and forget about God and his word. The weight of judgment will press them down. And on the day it falls, no one will escape. Not the fastest runner, not the physically powerful and competent. The military will collapse, and even the soldiers will run away naked on that day. A reading from Amos, the third chapter, beginning in the first verse. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt. You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from his den if he has taken nothing? Does a bird fall in a snare on the earth when there is no trap to it? Does a bird fall in a snare on the earth when there is no trap for it? Does a snare spring up from the ground when it has taken nothing? Is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? Amos 3 verses 1 to 6. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, are you ready to think about the words of Amos? Let's do this. Verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt. Once again, the command comes to Israel to use the ears God has given them. This is quite along the lines of our Lord Jesus' frequent exhortation, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the word they need to hear is a word that Yahweh has spoken against them, against his very own people. Remember, they'd been listening to the words spoken against the nations around them, announcing God's judgment upon them due to various crimes against the image of God in which all humanity had been created and which God calls upon all people, including those who have not saving faith, to both recognize and honor. But with Israel, and here Amos seems to mean not merely the northern kingdom, but also Judah, this failure is particularly ghastly because they had Yahweh's clear law and his sweet promises. So the word against is aimed at his own. Against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up from Egypt. Israel, remember, can mean the northern kingdom, or with the qualifier like the whole family, it indicates the totality of God's ancient people. And remember, this was the name Yahweh had given to Jacob after striving along the banks of the Jabbok, Genesis 32, verse 28. It was the name that was intertwined with the covenant given to the people of the promises, the people to whom God had given not just the patriarchal promises, but also the special revelation of himself by the rescue from Egypt and the theophany at Sinai. Passing through the waters, they'd been born anew, if you will, and made his own. And yet, they were now living as if none of that had transpired. Verse 2, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." Known here is intimate knowledge, the knowledge in which God discloses himself. You might think of know as in Adam knew Eve. So "you only have I known" is rather like, "You're the only family among the families of the earth to whom I've given myself in love. And it was because of this high and noble intimacy with the true and living God that now punishment comes." But punishment is a little bit of a paraphrase. The Hebrew padak is more like visitation. And that opens a ray of hope, even in this dark section. St. Jerome, one of the four great doctors of the Western Church, wrote on this verse. He says this very well, "I will visit, and not I will strike, because God's blow is his visitation and his healing care. He says, 'I will visit all your iniquities or sins, so that there might not be anything that does not receive his blow, anything that does not receive his healing.'" And you know how that came to its ultimate fulfillment when Yahweh in the flesh took not only the sins of Israel, but of the whole world into his flesh as he visited us and thus granted us the healing of the cross. Now, Yahweh's address moves into a series of rhetorical questions, each of which expect the answer no. Verse 3, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet?" I'm a pastor of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Synod, not Synet, as it's often heard. It's sort of a strange name. It's actually an abbreviation for the original, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod of Missouri, Ohio, and other states. But what is Synod? Synod is walking together, at least etymologically, walking the same way, the same direction. And we, like Enoch of old, see Genesis 5, verse 22, are called to walk with God. As Amos's contemporary Micah put it so well, Micah 6, verse 8, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." To walk together the same way, side by side. And to walk humbly means he gets to take the lead. I always think of my wretched hound dog from years ago, whom you could not take for a walk, but she took you for a pull, this way, that way, and God forbid she smelled a rabbit. Then you had to carry that baying bundle of fury in your arms to get her to go anywhere. She was the perfect example of how not to walk humbly and how to do not walk unless they are agreed. The agreed to meet, well, that to meet is added to the text. It really just reads, "Can two walk together unless they have agreed?" Agreed to walk in the same direction. Verse 4. Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from his den if he has taken nothing? Now, I know nothing about lions, and I'll happily keep it that way. But the introduction of the lion image is not accidental. We'd already had an intimation of this back in chapter 1, remember, when the Lord roars from Zion. That's the lion's verb. And the image of Yahweh as the lion, of course, is the very basis of C.S. Lewis's great series, The Chronicles of Narnia. Read it if you haven't. In this verse, the stress is that the voice itself indicates the presence of the threat. We might then paraphrase along these lines, is it safe to be out and about when you hear the roar of the lion? No, it is not. And the lion, Yahweh, has indeed just roared. Verse 5, does a bird fall in a snare on the earth when there is no trap for it? Does a snare spring up from the ground when it has taken nothing? The point of these is that a trap doesn't spring shut for no reason. It springs shut when it's taken the bird. So the judgment that awaits Israel wasn't accidental. It wasn't a happenstance. It had a cause, and the cause was in Israel's faithlessness to Yahweh. Verse 6, is a trumpet blown in a city, and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? The sound of the trumpet in ancient cities usually meant that the watchmen on the walls had spotted enemies coming. It was the signal for any in the neighboring fields to flee behind the walls and for the gates to be shut and barred. It would not be heard without a rise in cortisol, as we'd say today. It's rather like when you hear a bunch of alarms going off in our day, whether from fire trucks or police vehicles. The last part of this verse, though, I'd like to read to you from the King James and not the English Standard Version, which I think softens the blow. Here's a more literal read of the Hebrew. Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? I like leaving it in its raw form because it makes us see an important thing about evil. Do you recall Job's question to his faithless wife when she urged him to just be done with it, to curse God and die? Job 2, verse 10. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? You see, we use the word evil in two quite different senses. We use it for what I guess we'd call intrinsic, immoral evil. But we can also use it, especially when it comes to God's will, which is so often against our desires, for things we really, really, really don't like, usually because they're causing us suffering and pain and grief. And it's in that latter sense that Amos looks upon the evils that befall the city and asks, hasn't the Lord done this? Isn't this his visitation, his judgment? Isn't his hand behind it all? And this he will make now quite explicit in what's about to follow. But with that assertion of the Lord's omnipotent rule over all things, we'll call a halt for today, people loved by God. Next, we'll hear Amos declare that God actually does nothing without spilling the beans to his servants, the prophets. The lion, that is the Lord, has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? This is Amos's version of Peter's, we cannot but speak of the things we've heard and seen from Acts. And the Lord's word that Amos proceeds to pronounce is curious indeed. He summons Philistine and Egyptian to come to the mountains of Samaria and check out the great tumults within her and the oppressed who are in her midst. It's as though God, putting his people on display, says to the heathens, would you check this out? They don't even know how to do what is right. And all they're storing up for themselves in their strongholds is not treasure, but retribution. For watch what happens to a people who forget all about what is just and who oppress and abuse others. You watch and see. They are surrounded. Their strongholds will be pulled down. They will be plundered. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.